Another big thing we've been working on, I know I've talked about it some, is this group we formed called the Black Media Alliance in response to Clear Channel and, you know, first the issue with John and Ken calling Whitney Houston things I don't want to repeat on the radio. And, you know, they apologized and then went back to business as usual. After a brief suspension, we were asked by the station there, the management of Clear Channel, to meet with them. A group of African American media professionals and activists did so, and they asked for 72 hours. That happened. They issued a response to what we were asking, which was increased diversity in front of, behind the microphone, links and partnerships with African American news providers, organizations. And paid correspondents to offer alternate viewpoints. We also ask for clear published standards about what you can and cannot say on the radio as a responsible corporate partner. Not by way of censorship, but by way of what are your workplace standards, by way of not in our backyard will we allow this kind of hate. This lit a national fire when Rush Limbaugh followed shortly after our meeting, where we were promised that we wouldn't hear such language about women on the air anymore. The Rush Limbaugh's comments about Sandra Fluke creating a national firestorm that doesn't seem to be going away. Advertisers dropping off of Limbaugh's show. Many remaining off. There was a recent poll showing that Limbaugh is now, the majority of Americans now think he should be fired. More interestingly, Fox Business News reported that Clear Channel stock is down. Stock is down because, and it doesn't say because, one has to speculate that this whole controversy with Rush, with John and Ken, which has spread nationwide, is a cause for concern. It's a cause for concern if I'm a stockholder. Yesterday, the Black Media Alliance went before the LA City Council, lobbying for a resolution. And joining me in the studio right now, she was there with us, Chris Strudwick-Turner. She's the Vice President of Marketing and Communications at the Los Angeles Urban League, former editor of the Daily Journal. And she also worked in the public affairs department at the LA Times. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Dominique. Thanks for having me here today.
Well, that's great to have you on. On yesterday, we had been working on this for some time, working with council members Jan Perry, Bernard Parks, and Herb Wesson. Yes, those three working together. In the same boat, rowing the same direction, offered a resolution before the council, and we went to argue in favor of that resolution. You were one of the people that provided testimony before them, as was I. And what was your impression of what happened? Do you think it was a success? What do you think it means anything? There's so much controversy, of course, people saying the LA City Council should not even be taking this up.
It was an amazing morning, actually, for me. I've been at City Council a lot. I've never quite seen something like that. Resolution hearing actually was an hour and a half, which is long for an issue like that. And, of course, you know, you have the naysayers, you know, why does the council take up something like this when there's so many other pressing things that are happening in our city right now? But I think it's important what they did. First of all, our council members, Perry, Wesson, and Parks, in this political environment, when they came together to do this, that's significant, that the three of them joined together to do this. I looked at some of the social media responses to this when the stories hit yesterday, and I think people missed the point. A resolution is not a law. Therefore, there is no constitutional barriers to what the City Council did in saying that hate talk and talk against women and minorities with the slant that we've been seeing a lot of recently, and certainly over the past few years, it's gotten heightened. It's just wrong. And it's something that we don't want in Los Angeles. It's something that we don't want in this nation, and it needs to be toned down. You know, people say, you know, freedom of the press and freedom of speech is something that I hold very high, and always have, being a newspaper person for a very long time. But this is not about that. Just because you can say something doesn't mean that you should.
Well, yeah, I mean, as I said yesterday before the city council, we're not talking about censorship. We're not even calling for anyone to be fired. What we're talking about is hiring diverse people, just like we spoke about before. They'll report differently. They will influence your decision-making, whether it's a Trayvon Martin or whether it's, you know, Whitney Houston's death. It's going to be, there has to be another perspective. We're not saying we need to shut down your perspective. We're saying we need a wide array of perspectives on the topic, on any topic.
Absolutely. And it's the environment you create. If Johnny Ken had walked out the studio and had to look at an African American woman, or any woman actually, after they said that comment, I think it would have been different. If they had had to talk to somebody who looked like us before they went on the air, they might not have said that. It's the work environment that you have, and certainly you need more diversity. In media, you need more diversity in these areas so that these things don't happen. The other big issue is the standards and the guidelines that are given to on-air personalities, because again, what happens is the bad thing is said, it's already out there, and then everybody reacts afterwards. Either they're suspended or, you know, advertisers drop out. Why? Is not something done beforehand so that it doesn't happen.
I mean, one of the things that I was really happy about is that we were, as we said, we were able to come with a coalition of people. And let's take a listen to Alex Nogales from the Hispanic Media Alliance, Hispanic Media Coalition, as he has a few words to say before the city council. This is just an excerpt from that. Let's take a listen. Okay. Let's try that again, shall we? Well, okay. For some reason, it's not playing. Let's try that again. This is the group of people that appeared before the city council yesterday, included yourself from the Los Angeles Urban League, Kevin Ross, Judge Kevin Ross, Jazz Mechanic, but also Jane Oak from the Korean Law Association, and Alex Nogales. A lot of other people, too. Let's try see if we can take a listen to Alex again.
Now, you all know that Latinos and other people of color are the majority in this area, and yet we're tolerating these folks who are doing this kind of broadcasting day in and day out. Now, it's ugly, it's violent, and they're inciting others to violence.
And that was Alex Nogales. I think it was a powerful thing. For me, it was a powerful thing to look up at the city council and see a table with African-American, Latino, and progressive white or European-American folks sitting there on the same page, making the same point. Ah, Jasmine Kennick is joining us. Good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning, Dominique. Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Front Page family.
Okay, what's your official title? Media strategist?
No, just Jasmine.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Just Jasmine.
Multitasker Jasmine Kennick. Jane Oak. Let's take a listen to what Jane Oak had to say. And the organization that she's with is the Korean Law Association?
Korean American Bar Association.
Korean American Bar Association. And again, these are excerpts from longer speeches, but just give you a feel of the kind of coalition. I know I talk about it all the time, and you guys sometimes don't think it's possible.
There was actually an incident in December on the handle on the Long Show program as well that had very horrible comments about the Korean American community.
And on and on, the testimonials.
And the young lady just basically testifying about her body.
Okay, that's Bernard Parks. We're going to listen to more of that stuff, but we're taking your phone calls, 520-KHLH, 520-5554. The thing that happened, which may surprise you, is that all of the council members voted yes except for two. And we were surprised to see a much wider spread support despite some criticism and actually untrue things, to put it nicely, that have been published in the media. Do you want to address those, Jasmine?
I think it just goes to show that, like you were saying, when it comes to certain issues in terms of coalition building, some issues are bigger than other things. I mean, there was a lot of conversation about the three council members coming together to support this, right? And they did. So the support of their colleagues on it as well, I think, just proved everyone's point who was there, which is basically like this is a pervasive issue that has been going on for far too long. And it's time for us to finally get up and speak up and talk about it.
And, you know, people, I think there's a lot of misinformation going around, confusion. The Black Media Alliance is a group of people that came together around this issue. Now, Clear Channel contacted you, Jasmine, because I believe they contacted you because they know that you love some of their content, that you actually listen. And they thought, well, you know, let's get a fan. But, you know, of course you're a fan, but you're also
Black.
Black and a woman.
A woman.
So, you know, you were really instrumental in bringing this group of people together. And it's a very, you know, I've taken some criticism on this show as well. But I think the purpose of the group was to get people who really work in media and people inside of community-based organizations like the Urban League that specifically deal with media issues.
Right. That was exactly the purpose, and it's sort of, you know, putting this ad hoc group together. Other community groups have tried to address specific issues at this particular radio station. Why they were unsuccessful is because, at the end of the day, this radio station is part of a bigger corporation, and it's all about business. And so bringing in a group of people with a radio background, with broadcasting backgrounds, with media backgrounds, who can go toe-to-toe with them, understand their language, understand, and, you know, where they're coming from and what they're looking at in terms of these issues, I think really put them on guard. I don't think they expected that.
Well, particularly the fact that, I mean, look at, you know, the amount of media. Now Rush Limbaugh steps in it, Bill Handel steps in it, you know, they fired the host on the East Coast. And it's like the story just doesn't go away. I mean, usually these stories ask two or three
of people just being outrageous.
And I think it's critical mass, too. I really do. I think, you know, women are sick of it. We're sick of being disrespected. I think people of color are sick of it. And when you see the African-American, Latino, and Asian-American community sitting together with progressive, you know, white folks, and then, you know, this is a signal. And it's not about censorship. It's about being a citizen in a democracy. It's about variety of information, variety of perspectives. It's about diversity in the workplace. And, you know, some people have said, there was an article on some blog yesterday saying that we're practicing racial groupthink or something. And my point is this, if you want, which I think you would have a slippery slope defending, but if you want to just say, okay, we should have separate, all white, all black media organizations, then we need to address ownership. Then we need to do some trust busting.
Really?
Because if you want to tell me that a company does not have the obligation to hire a diverse group, then we need to have a diverse group of owners. And at this point, we don't. Because of consolidation, there are very few owners, and minority ownership has gone way down
in
media.
Well, it takes it to a whole nother level if you're going to go there. And you start getting into the FCC and what needs to be regulated and what needs to be done on that front. And, you know, I'm hoping that this dialogue that we're having here in LA, and it's gone national, I just hope that it escalates to the point where we actually get some traction on this in DC, and that they really start looking at, you know, what the standards are, all the way from ownership just to what's allowed on the air. Because, you know, I think, again, this is not about censorship. It's just about what's right and what's not right. And it's about what kind of climate we want to create in this country. And again, you know, I'll put it out there. Since Obama became president, this has just gone crazy. I mean, it's gone to a place where I don't think anybody's comfortable with it. And I think even Clear Channel, KFI, I think, you know, when we went there and we met with them, they know that this is a problem. This is a problem. And to your point, you know, all of us sitting there, and those of you who are actually active in the business, and they're saying, you know, well, we are having a problem identifying African-American talent. Right. I mean, that was very funny with all this talent that was in this room and years of experience that was in the room. And certainly not for us, not an aha moment, but an aha that they got it, you know.
Well, but what you do with it, if you get it, remains to be seen. And I, you know, I find it hilarious that on the one hand, we're getting criticized because some people are saying, well, you guys just want jobs. But then on the other hand, we're getting criticized saying, we offered you jobs and you guys don't want jobs. Well, we said we wanted jobs for black people, not necessarily for ourselves, although some may. But, you know, the point is to create diversity in the workplace. The point is to create clear standards. We have clear standards. I know what I'm not allowed to say on this radio station. We have a 20-second delay. I'm clear. We don't do racial slurs. We don't do it. It's not allowed. Okay? No ambiguity. You're probably going to get suspended or get in trouble in some kind of way. We don't play that. What's so hard about putting out a statement? Now, some people say, well, they're responding to what you guys have asked. Okay, are they? Well, I still haven't seen clear standards.
Yeah,
okay, but what's so hard about putting out a document that says, we will not call women sluts, prostitutes, streetwalkers, hoes, or anything to that effect on this media outlet nationwide? Is that rocket science? We will not use racial slurs referring to African Americans, Latinos, Asians, or gay people.
Right.
Rocket science? No. If you just put out a document with those two things, we'd be like, yay, clear standards. Haven't seen it yet.
And that's the problem, this unwillingness on behalf of the station to
define. It's not just the station, it's a corporation.
Right.
It's a corporation that owns like 900 stations across the country that dominates the talk radio landscape nationwide. You can't compare that. Somebody compared it to a local public radio or even to black-owned and Latino-owned. You can't compare it because nobody black, brown, gay, or woman owns 900 stations.
That's true.
Let me ask you a question. One of the things that's fascinating to me is that with all these things that are happening, it's very rare that someone who is a minority, a woman, or of, you know, not white, makes these kind of outrageous statements on the radio. It's just interesting to me. Is it a cultural thing?
They do, it's someone like Larry Elder
or
on Dr. yesterday. Larry yesterday saying that the Trayvon Martin case is not a criminal case.
What are you looking for from him?
But that's the whole point. If you want to hear a black perspective, it's not going to come from the few black voices that are allowed that kind of a level of a platform.
But again, Larry addressed the issue. I didn't hear what he said, so I'm not sure. Yeah. What did he say about the man who shot him?
He says it's not a criminal issue.
Right, but he didn't disparage this man. He didn't talk about what the man looked like, how the man, which he could have. I mean, there's a lot out there on this that he could have.
He's saying the Justice Department shouldn't be involved, which, okay, is that a black perspective?
I guess it would be one black perspective. But I don't think it's the prevailing black perspective.
Literally one.
Right.
Let's go to RK from the Inland Empire. Hi, RK. You're on the front page. Good morning.
Yes, how you doing, Danny?
Excellent.
I'm trying to understand what you guys are looking for, because I've had a lot of success in this area getting people to hire. Just recently I did. So what are you looking for exactly?
Well, we have put out a pretty clear set of goals. Jasmine, you want to go over it?
You know, we're pretty clear. One, like Dominique said, defining what those standards are so that when the line is crossed, everyone knows the line is crossed and what the repercussions for crossing those lines are. Two is that at the scene of the crime, which would be this particular radio station, that they bring on, you know, out of 15 hosts, you know, only one is female and none are African American, and you say you can't find African American talent, you know, that's kind of ridiculous. And you need African Americans, you need a diverse workforce, right? So that means engineers, producers, reporters, on-air, fill-in, so on and so forth. And the reason why you need a diverse workforce is, like, if you just take whoever's listening and you just put yourself in a situation of working in an environment as a female, with all females, right? The conversations that all females might have when there are no males around are going to be really different than the conversations you guys might have when there are males around. So when there are no African Americans in this particular workspace, we see what happens. It's reflected on the air. The same with the comments towards women. I know one of the other things we recommended to them was that they look at creating partnerships with African American online media entities, especially as it relates to news and different perspectives as well. And quite frankly, out of the four things that we brought to them, nothing has pretty much been implemented or even looked at seriously.
I found it interesting that they put out a statement saying they would do diversity training, which we did not ask for.
Right.
And so you want diversity training so that you know when you're wrong and you'll still be wrong anyway, because you guys have already had that.
Well, what is diversity training? Being able to identify an African American on site? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, I've actually sat in those sessions before. I've been a community action director. I've been on the other side of this table, and I have had some of our hosts take diversity training. It is kind of like a crash course in Black history, Latino history, Asian history. It is exposing people to what are stories that are not on the news. But how much can you do in a couple hours? You know what I mean? Because it has to do with worldview.
But, you know, looking at the other side, I want them to do that. I mean, that's something I think that they should do.
Again.
And what that looks like, you know, maybe we can help them get there. I know that they've thrown some names out of people that they were looking at to do that diversity and, what was it, cultural sensitivity.
I nominate Maulana Karenga.
Yes, I think Dr. Karenga would be excellent. You know what? Y'all are laughing. I think that's a really great choice.
I think he'd take it.
I think Dr. Karenga would be an excellent. I might have to send that over in an email suggestion with a link to his website.
Top 10 things that are never going to happen.
Right.
But, I mean, you're okay. I'm glad you want to see it happen. I don't give a rat's behind if it happens, because I want to see change. And you, and I know you do too, because the Urban League has been very supportive of this change in terms of policy. Because what did we see with Don Imus? Don Imus was fired, and at the time I kept saying we need a nappy-headed scholars fund, get him to give us a million or two so we have an endowment at Rutgers. What happened? They fired him, and then he came back.
Mm-hmm.
He had a black sidekick for a few minutes, and then she got fired.
Well, you know.
And now it's business as usual.
Well, I think this movement, the BMA movement, has to be sustained. And, you know, I've worked on a lot of issues. The league has worked on a lot of issues. And I think about this somewhat in the same vein of how we addressed and tackled the UCLA lack of diversity situation back in 2006, when less than 100 African Americans were in the enrolled freshman class. It was a very, very contentious start to how we engaged UCLA in the UC system. We worked with the regents, we worked with the president of UC, we worked with the chancellors, several now at UCLA over the past 6 years. 6 years, and it's been a long journey. There have been a lot of changes, there have been a lot of policy changes, there have been a lot of advances, but we did find a way to dialogue together. We did find a way to work together, never giving up our watchdog.
Well, look, I'm not saying we shouldn't work together. In fact, I've been saying on this show all along that I think we've been very reasonable. We haven't been name-calling. Other people have been name-calling, because I really, truly believe, and I know you believe this, and Jasmine as well, that we didn't come here just to start some stuff. We actually want to see changes. We want to see changes that benefit other people. We're seeing small changes, some programming that's been implemented that we know would not have been implemented if it wasn't for the pressure that we've brought to bear. But we want to see big changes, actual changes.
Real changes.
Lasting changes. Lasting change means more than 3 weeks. Michelle from LA. Lasting change means years into the future. Hi, Michelle. You're on.
Hi, Dominique. I just wanted to call and make a comment about that person that was on TV, the personality that made the comment that the situation with Trayvon is in a criminal case.
Yeah.
I just wanted to express myself. That's ridiculous and unheard of due to the fact that Michael Vick, he was convicted and put in jail for fighting dogs. But this man that's killed a living, breathing person who can feel and love, that's not a criminal case. I just felt that that was just absurd. I mean, I didn't know anything about it until, well, I listened to your show every morning.
Thank you,
Michelle. And that's when I heard about it, and I became extremely enraged. Like, are you serious? How dare he say something like that? And since then, in hearing the story, I read a lot about it, and it's kind of just spiraled out of control, like my whole thought process about this. It's terrible.
Yeah, that's why we got to try to do some meditating in between the beats. I think a lot of us are at that point. But the people are marching. They're marching today in Sanford, Florida. They marched last night in New York City. The mainstream media is saying hundreds, which means it's probably thousands. People in hoodies and other attire. The parents were there. You know, they're marching in Leimert Park. We are marching in Leimert Park today at 5 o'clock. And I hope you'll be there, Michelle.
I will be there. I just wanted to call and make that statement. I love the show, and I'll be listening every morning.
Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate you. 5 o'clock today, Leimert Park. You know, bring your own hoodie if you want to. I will.
I got plenty to choose from.
Look, I stay in a hoodie. But
right. Okay.
If it's a problem with hoodies, I have a problem. But seriously, I think that... you know, what I think is powerful is that we are coming together, and we've had our lively discussions, but we've been on the same page, and the pressure is steady. You can go to Facebook and like us now under Black Media Alliance, right?
Yes.
Black Media Alliance. And today would be a good day to visit, because the City Council resolution that was passed yesterday, with a miracle that I have to give some credit to Jasmine of getting the 3 African-American council members on the same page.
Thank you.
And then we had, it wasn't just the African-American council members. Let's listen to council member Paul Krikorian in his comments about this resolution that did pass 10-2 and...
13-2.
13-2. Don't take our votes away.
It should be 13-1, but, you know, the new guy didn't know any better.
That's what we'll chalk it up to.
It's a coarsening of society that we're experiencing throughout the media and throughout public discourse that is ruining democracy in this country, because this is all about hatred and personalization of what should be public issues.
That's Councilmember Krikorian, who is not Black nor Latino, and voted yes. And again, let's listen to Councilmember Wezar, what he had to say on yesterday. Okay, stop doing that. I'm talking to the machine. Yes, I talk to inanimate objects. That's the front page of Radio Free 102.3 KGLH. Let's listen to Councilmember Wezar.
We should be involved with this. We are involved with this. And we need to send a strong message, even if it stirs up even more controversy, because it's something we need to defend. Thank you.
So I guess I got to give credit to the Los Angeles City Council, because in the face of criticism by the media, which often withers them, they stood strong. Councilmember Cardenas said this was brought to us by the people. Of course we should be dealing with, and he's right, we are the voters. If we say we want you to deal with this, that's what you're supposed to be dealing with. Other people were saying this is an FCC matter. Well, what about not in our town? What about not in my backyard? What about that kind of a pushback? Hi, Q from Culver City. Q?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment in terms of, like, solving our problems that we have. We probably need to go back and take a look at some of the solutions that we've used in the past. And when I say that, I mean, if you take a look at Booker T. Washington and the debate that he had with, you know, what W.E.B. Du Bois was talking about trying to do, to a certain extent, you can't expect people to, or force people to expect, to respect and actually like you. You maybe need to go out and build your own institution. And I know, I understand the whole thing when you talk about the 900 radio stations and things of that nature.
Well, the public airwaves are our own institutions. They are licensed to private corporations. And right now it goes to the highest bidder. So are we in a democracy where only the rich have access? Is that what we're saying?
Well, you do have access. I mean, that one of the things about the Internet, that is a great equalizer in terms of the old business models that have actually gone about. And the first thing you can actually consider is, amongst ourselves, you know, if you have a program or a rap album or an artist that actually disrespects our people, don't buy it.
Yeah, I mean, that is true, Q, but here's the thing about that. A, public airwaves. B, scale. It's true, the Internet is an equalizer, and I think this is one of the reasons why the Black Media Alliance campaign has been so successful, has been all across the country. I was actually on Andre Eglajon's show in Florida. They're talking about it there. It's because of media, social media, Facebook. And
they're very unhappy about that, yeah, actually.
Things go viral, just right. Like Trayvon did.
Right.
Just like, you know, Jaina 6, just like so many things that would never have gotten the attention had it not been for the Internet. But on radio, people don't really listen to that much Internet radio. Terrestrial radio still rules. It may not be that way in 10 years, but right now, it may not be that way in 5 minutes. But right now, the public airwaves, public trust, that's where the political conversation is going on. It's an election year. We're re-electing a Black president. But yet, the vitriol and hatred against Black people that goes on talk radio, to me, that skews our democratic process.
You know, it's really interesting. With John and Ken, we really have to look at why this went viral, because it was Whitney Houston. It was just before she was buried, which was, you know, insensitive just in and of itself. But people love Whitney Houston. And across the country, across the world, when this hit, what was said about her, everybody got up in arms, because I truly believe it. If it had just been some casual comment about you or me, any one of us here,
probably
it would never have even seen the light of day.
Maybe about you. But I mean, I think that's part of it. But I also think part of it is critical mass. It's been going on and going on and going on and going, and people are sick of it. Now, it's interesting when you see the Black Media Alliance steps up, because we are media savvy, because we are serious, because we are professionals. And I want to shout out Kevin Ross from Radio Facts, Judge Kevin Ross, the other Kevin Ross, Mr. Lee Bailey from EUR Web. You know, people,
Asidra
Person-Land, that have been working tirelessly. Guess what? All of a sudden, the Latino, the Korean, and the progressive causes are getting some traction that they haven't had. So yes, we owe Whitney Houston a debt of gratitude, but I think it's also critical mass. It's time for change. It's 2012.
And the young lady just basically testifying about her body. That was where another person who cannot have children basically says, I'm going to call you a name because you're defending the use of your body. I think that's what caused this to get a much larger. It didn't get the same thing with Rutgers. It didn't get the same thing with many others with Whitney Houston. And the issue is, it's unfortunate because they're just as damaging, particularly since these women, Black women, are role models for so many people, yet they're being disparaged by people just because they can.
And that's Councilmember Bernard Parks yesterday in council chambers talking about the very thing we're talking about in front page chambers. It's a front page.
We're the council here today.
That's right. Jasmine Kanick, a media strategist, and Chris Strudwick Turner, vice president at the LA Urban League. Of course, you 520KJLH. It's the front page. It's Total Talk Expression, Radio Free 102.3 KJLH.
Introducing a different mindset. The front page. Radio Free 102.3 KJLH.
Let's go to Ron from Gardena. Hi, Ron. You're on. Ron?
Yes. Good
morning.
You're
on the air. Hi. Morning.
Good morning, Front Page family. I'm a regular listener. This is my first time calling.
Welcome.
But the question I have for you is, what's your take on radio personality Larry Elder? He seems to whatever the position. He came on Fox Radio TV yesterday, day before yesterday, and his position was he didn't understand why the Black Caucus was raising such a fuss, and
right.
Now they'll probably get Larry Elder, L. Sharpton, to come down and have something to say.
Right.
Whatever Black America, whatever, whenever something happens to some Black African American, he seems to take the opposite position against it.
Right. So you know the deal, Ron. You know the deal. Maybe they'll appoint him to the Supreme Court when the Bushes get back in office. That's why I always say it's about consciousness. It's not just about color. It's about consciousness. So let's check his consciousness.
But again, with Larry, he's talking about the issues. He's not talking about the people and what they look like.
Well, so you're making the distinction between name calling, which I think is a good distinction. But nevertheless, I mean, we talk about diversity in airwaves. We also don't have a diversity of Democrats and Republicans. Far right wing conservatives dominate talk radio nationwide. And why is that? They're just a few huge corporations. And if you look at the owners of those corporations, they're donors to the Republican Party. That's like state-run media. We want to criticize Cuba and other countries for having state-run media when we're running a similar system.
That's right.
I'm going to let the talk show fan answer.
I know.
I'm not a huge fan of Larry Elder's, but you know what? What I do appreciate is that at least, you know, the African Americans who do have an opposing view are getting out there and they're being able to speak on it, versus someone who is not an African American given that opportunity to go on Fox.
It's interesting because, you know, at least now you see some diversity on
right.
TV. You didn't used to see that. Now you have Rachel Maddow, you know, you have Keith Olbermann,
mm-hmm.
you know, you do have Melissa Harris Perry. So you're starting to see a little bit of on TV. It's not happening on radio. Not
nationally. Yet.
No, but
the last bastion. The last.
That's why there is a Black Media Alliance. Charles from LA, really quick, can you do it for me in 20 seconds?
Oh, yeah. Well, since this radio is important, you know, Hitler used the radio to stir up hatred against the Jews. So that's why Jews are so quick to stand up. You know, if they hear some defamation, they jump right on it.
Well, that's why I agreed with Alex Nogales yesterday at the city council meeting. He drew the parallel between hate speech and hate crimes, mm-hmm. which are up against Black and brown and women.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the main targets. Hate speech does lead to hate crimes, and that's part of the problem. It's 5:58. It's time for the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Jasmine, let's start with you, Chris, since we don't want to push you out on the talk ledge, but certainly the Urban League has been also key in supporting this initiative for more diversity and clear standards.
It's important. I mean, it's pervasive across the nation, and it affects our community. It affects how people think about us. It affects about what people think is okay to say about us and our image. And, you know, we are judged by our lowest common denominator. And that is just unacceptable. And yet, you can call Whitney Houston a crack hoe. And I'm sorry I said that on the air, but that's a problem.
Jasmine.
I just want to use my last seconds to say thank you to the Los Angeles City Council, the Black Media Alliance, our partners, but in particularly to shout out council members Perry Wesson and Parks for putting all that other stuff aside to come together on this issue. We love you and we really appreciate you for that.
Indeed, we do. I'm going to turn my book to the pages of Jim Brown, because people say, why, what for, what are you doing? It doesn't make a difference. I think it absolutely does. I also want to thank the city council. I want to thank this radio station that does not need diversity training for allowing us to have this conversation, right? Karen Slade and Andre Russell. And I want to thank the members of the Black Media Alliance who have been working very, very hard and in this boat rowing the same direction. As you go on your way about your day, let's affirm ourselves in this way. Let's take a deep breath in and let us release. Today, let me remember, success is a journey and not a destination. Till next time, Radio Free Family, be well. One love.
102.3 KJLH, Compton, Los Angeles, Long Beach, and Inglewood. Celebrating Black History 365 days a year.